You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research Disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at CommBank. And today on the podcast, we are going to go through the March edition of the CommBank Household Spending Insights series with Stephen Halmerich, our chief economist, and that showed a small 0.2% lift for the month of March. It is a bit over a month till the federal budget. We're going to get the lowdown on what the budget surplus could look like and how that could impact on the consumer. And finally, we're going to talk about the latest Reserve Bank of Australia board meeting and the minutes that showed a definite neutral bias. So, Stephen, thanks for joining today.
My pleasure. Thanks, Belinda. Very good to be back with you again.
Now, we're going to talk about the March edition of the CommBank Household Spending Insights series. Now, this data has been a little bit volatile in recent months over the summer period, after the impact in February from a number of concerts, including Taylor Swift, of course. In March, it showed a bit more of a muted response by the consumer.
Yes, that's right. So for the month of March, the HSI was up just 0.2%. So a small rise after the fall of February, which was minus 0.4%. So that number was revised from minus 0.3 to minus 0.4%. So a soft increase in the month of March. And what we can see is, although 10 of the 12 spending categories increased, by far the biggest increases were in transport, which was up 4.2%, and food and beverages up 4% on the month. So what we think is happening here is on the transport side, it's probably just a higher price of petrol.
Yeah,
petrol was up about 2.5% on the month, so we could see spending at service stations definitely up, as well as things like ride sharing. And then in terms of food and beverage, we think it's the early Easter has really had a big effect this year. So for the first time since 2016, Easter Sunday was in March rather than April, and it's very hard for the seasonal adjustment factors to take into account that early Easter. So a big increase in food and beverage makes a lot of sense for the month of March. We'd expect to see an offset to that with a weaker number in April.
Yeah, drilling into the details on food and beverage goods as well, you can see it was supermarkets, butchers, bakeries. So the fact that Easter was in March this year, certainly a 4% lift is quite strong for that category. So a definite impact there. Some other categories that were up for the month was hospitality, still lifting up 1.2%. So obviously a lot of people just spent March either eating or drinking inside the home or outside the home. And household services was also stronger, up by 1.4% for the month. A lot of other common categories that we have seen gains for more recently continue to be up the leaderboard in March as well. So insurance, health and education still recording strong gains as well.
Yes, that's right. So insurance, as you say, it was up 0.9% on the month, but it's up 10.5% in the year to March. Still, the largest increase in spending of all the 12 categories is insurance. So as I think everybody will know, most of that is price. And as you said, education up as well. That's up 5.3% year to March. Health is up 6.5%. So within the household services sector, the biggest increase actually was in charitable donations, which I think reflects, some of the really difficult things happening around the world at the moment, as well as here at home. So nice to see Australians dipping into their pockets, even though times are relatively tough, with some increase in charity donations. But one of the biggest areas where we saw a fall was recreation, which had been very strong in the previous couple of months, as you mentioned, Taylor Swift and others. So that was down 6.8% in the month of March, really offsetting those big summer music festivals.
And what I actually found quite interesting is when we're looking at kind of the annual growth figures. So for the year to March, recreation is now just up 0.4%. So we're starting to, when you look at the annual growth rates, really starting to see a lot of divergence between stuff that people have to spend money on. So the top kind of categories, insurance, health, education, food and beverage goods, all the musts.
Utilities, are
still recording quite strong growth rates over the past year. But then when you look at things that we don't have to be spending our money on, so recreation up only 0.4% through the year to March, household goods very weak, down by 0.7% over the past year, motor vehicle only up 0.1%. There is a lot of divergence going on. Households are making choices about where they're spending their money.
Yes, that's right, and very clearly. So, you know, the fact that household goods are down year on year, I think is pretty stunning. Given, you know, this is nominal dollars and inflation's running around about 3.5%. So clearly we're spending more money on those big services. Prices are rising.
Yep.
We're still spending, you know, more on food and beverage as well, but definitely cutting back on things like household goods and communications and digital and some of the other sectors as well.
Was there anything on a state-by-state basis? I know last month we had seen New South Wales and Victoria perform particularly well because, no surprise, that's where the majority of the concerts were last month. How did that turn out for the month of March?
Yeah, I do think it's quite interesting in that up until the last few months there's been a definite east-west divide where you know, the west of the country been much stronger than the east.
By west, just WA.
WA. Although South Australia had been doing quite well, and I should say South Tasmania had been holding up quite well. But this month, actually, New South Wales and the ACT were the strongest two jurisdictions, both of them up 2% on the month, so quite solid. Victoria up 1.3%. And New South Wales has now jumped from, you know, towards the bottom of the annual change to towards the top. So New South Wales is up 4.1% year to March. Although, having said that, Western Australia is still the strongest. It's up 4.3% year to March. And Victoria is now around just below the national average at 3% rather than well below. So there's some evening out, if you like, of the state-by-state performance.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what the HSI does next month in April. Obviously, we're going to get some of the seasonal impacts from Easter being early this year, so we could see a pullback, obviously, based on that next month. Now, we're about a month out from the federal budget. You wrote a note last week just looking at how the numbers are evolving for the current financial year. The economy is slowing. We've seen commodity prices also fall, particularly for iron ore over growth concerns in China. I guess for thinking about this through the lens of the consumer, what are we expecting for the budget? We know tax cuts are coming from 1 July as well. What's your early view on how the budget's going to unfold?
Yes, it's hard to believe we're talking about the budget again. It's out on the 14th of May.
We are in April. It's hard to believe that
that's
too.
That's true, yeah. So we look at financial year 2024, so the year that ends on 30th of June. The most recent estimate from the government is the budget will be essentially balanced, a deficit of $1 billion, so a balanced budget. But our numbers are indicating that we're probably going to be in a surplus again for FY24, maybe around $10 to $20 billion surplus. FY23, the surplus was about $20 billion, so the FY24 surplus about the same, maybe a little bit lower than the previous year. What we've seen actually is between July and December, so the first half of the financial year, there was a lot more revenue coming into the government than they had expected. But in January and February, the revenue numbers were pretty much exactly what the government's profile would have implied. So
no more upside surprise.
Yeah, that's right. So the outperformance of revenue seems to have disappeared. But because the first 6 months of the year was pretty solid, we should end up with a small surplus for FY24. For FY25, the current estimate from the government is a deficit of about $18 billion. I would think we'll end up with a much smaller deficit than that, perhaps close to balance. So it's going to be a turnaround in fiscal policy, some easing of fiscal policy. As you say, there's the tax cut starting on the 1st of July. But the easing in fiscal policy be pretty minor. That's what we think at this stage. Yeah. We'll see what
there is an election.
The election looks like it'll be May 2025. So there'll be another budget before that election. So I think the government is going to have to, you know, if you like, thread the needle between providing some targeted cost of living support, some medium-term investment and making sure fiscal policy does not add to the inflationary impulse of the economy. We know inflation is decelerating. We're all looking forward towards interest rate cuts later this year. So the government will not want to ease fiscal policy to impede the RBA moving towards rate cuts.
And finally, just on that, we did get the Reserve Bank board minutes around a week ago now for that March board meeting. And it really did highlight that the Reserve Bank has moved to a neutral bias. It was a first meeting that it seems like a rate hike was not discussed for the first time since May 2022. Yeah. That's good news for the consumer as well.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, really interesting that, every other board meeting since, as you said, May 2022, they put in the minutes that they talked about raising rates. And most of those meetings, they decided to raise rates. And even up to recent times, they were clear that they discussed the need to raise rates. But in the March meeting, they did not. Well, certainly it wasn't in the minutes.
Mm.
So the rates on hold, that's very much in line with our forecasts. We continue to expect the first rate cut in September this year. There's 6 months between now and, now between now and that September meeting. The data is softening, inflation is decelerating, but the RBA will still need a bit more time to be very confident that inflation is going to be back into the target range in next year, in 2025, and they can start lowering interest rates before the end of this year.
Yeah, particularly given we're getting a little bit of some volatile data around the labour market at the moment. So I think they'll be wanting to see that next labour market print. And obviously we get the full quarterly CPI out before the May board meeting from the Reserve Bank. Stephen, great to get your insights on the CommBank Household Spending Insights Series, the upcoming budget and the RBA. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thanks very much, Belinda.
And for all our listeners, if you'd like to read the report on the CommBank HSI, that was published on the 11th of April 2024, and you can find our latest reports on the RBA and the upcoming budget at commbankresearch.com.au. Now, any reference to the term CBA data means proprietary data of the bank. The data used in the Commonwealth Bank Household Spending Insights Series is a combination of CBA data and publicly available ABS, CoreLogic and RBA data. As analysis is based on CBA customer transactions, it may not reflect all trends in the market. All customer data used or represented is anonymised before analysis and is used and disclosed in accordance with the bank's privacy policy.